All right, now, we're ready for the word, right? Why don't you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. We're moving right along here. We're breaking into chapter 3 today. And we're going to talk a little bit about false religion. And, of course, that's what Galatians is dealing with. You know, kind of like the religion of the Jews, that just they're stuck in their legalism and their laws and their rule-keeping. And when the fulfillment of the Jewish religion came, Jesus Christ, they missed it. Their Messiah came and they missed it. They want to keep with their little set of rules and their, because it's not just a little set, it's overcoming their life that is all-encompassing. If you know people who are into religions with rules, it's all about the rules, right? Now, and I tell you, the key difference between a false religion and a true religion always comes down to where you're placing your faith. Who or what are you trusting in? That's what it comes down to. Are you trusting in God or are you trusting in your religious system? Now, of course, the people who have a religious system, they'll say this is how we trust God. But you notice the cults and the false religions, it's all about their little group. If you're not in their little group, you can't find God. We got the corner on God, right? And so the emphasis, I guess you need to ask yourself, is the emphasis of your religion upon your works or God's work? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, do you get right with God because of what God has done for you on the cross of Christ? Or do you get right with God, Jesus plus? That's what we've been saying that since the beginning of Galatians. Is your religion Jesus plus something else? Or is it just Jesus? I'm telling you, folks, Jesus did it all. Have you ever heard the saying, the finished work of Christ on the cross? There's a reason we say that. Because Jesus did it all for you on the cross. And if you think, well, he made the down payment, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life paying the rest of it off. You'll never pay the rest of it off. You can't do it. I'm getting off of my notes here. Let's keep going here. All right. See, there's a lot of people who think they get right with God by earning his favor by staying within the lines. They're earning his favor by keeping all of the rules. And I'll tell you what, you can't have it both ways. It's either God saved you through the cross of Christ, or it's you got to earn your own way and save yourself. You can't have both. And so which way is it? Well, let me start right out by answering the question, and then we'll go to our text, which answers the question again, okay? And you may have heard this verse before. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's a verse I've wore out in this church because I really believe it's the gospel on steroids. Now, today I chose to put it up in the NIV because I really like the way it's worded. NIV, by the way, is the nearly indispensable version. It's nearly. Okay. Here's what it says. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let me tell you what it doesn't say. How we get righteous is by doing everything right. What does it say? It starts with Jesus and it ends with Jesus, your salvation. It's all about Jesus. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. That when Jesus hung on that cross, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried it out because for the first and only time in all of eternity, God the Father and God the Son were separated by sin. He was being treated the way you and I deserve to be treated. He was being treated the way sin deserves to be treated. Sin separates. But God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, don't miss this second half. The first half is the John 3:16 part you've heard before. The second half, most people miss this. How do I become righteous? The divine swap. Folks, it's what I call the divine swap. You see, when Jesus hung on the cross, God put all of your sins on him and treated him the way your sins deserve to be treated. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the divine swap takes place, and God takes all of his righteousness and puts it on you. And it's called imputed righteousness, the theological term. You become righteous because he makes you righteous, not because you earned it, not because you do everything right. It's because it's the divine swap. Jesus took your sins on the cross. Is that fair? Was it fair that Jesus died for your sins? Heck no. Is it fair that you get his righteousness? Heck no, but I'll take it. That's how it works. Now, I could preach all day on this verse because you've heard me before. I love this verse. Let me keep going. One more verse, and then we're going to get started in our text today. We'll see if we finish that. Listen, the text is a famous memory verse you should all know, only I've chosen to quote it in the ESV translation. It's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. I like to add 10 to it. For by grace you have been saved. By the way, it's not saying by grace you're working your way to be saved. You see that? For by grace you have been, past tense. I want you to get this because so many people are in bondage. The Galatians were in bondage because they didn't see the full grace of God. By grace you have been saved through faith. That means just trust him, just believe him. I could go off on that, but let me keep reading. And this is not of your own doing. The grace of God, the work of salvation, it's not your own doing. You don't do it. It's the gift of God. That's what we're going to talk about today, the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one will boast. Now, here's the other part, the balance. You go, where's the balance? Don't I have to do something? Well, not to get saved. But now that you are saved, he's got to work for you. Listen, let me start from the beginning. We'll put it in. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works that no one will boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, here's how it goes. God saves me, and now I get to live for him. I don't live for him so I can get saved. I don't do good things so that I'll earn his favor and get saved. He saves me by grace through faith. And now I'll spend the rest of my life serving him because I am his. I love it. See, that's the proper picture. Father, I pray that as we continue in this text in Galatians chapter 3, that you make very clear to us what salvation is, what salvation isn't, what Christianity is, what Christianity isn't. Father, I pray especially for those who've been in bondage in our midst, who are sitting here today, or maybe who will listen to this broadcast later on internet or on radio. And I pray, Lord God, that you set many free from that religious bondage of thinking, I have to earn my way to heaven. Lord, set people free by the good news gospel today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Quick review of what's been going on in Galatians. You see, the Christians living in the region of Galatia have already been saved because Paul went through there earlier, maybe 12 years earlier. He preached the gospel to them, and they were gloriously saved by the gospel of grace, just hearing about the cross. And they're living in grace and in the freedom, and all of a sudden, along come some big shots from Jerusalem, and they're a group of legalists. They're religionists, if you want to call it that. And they're legalistic Jews from Jerusalem claiming that they came from James, the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And they're trying to tell these Gentile Christians that, no, you can't be saved just that easy. You can't be saved just by believing in Jesus. You've got to become a Jew first. And matter of fact, here's your first fill-in. You've been waiting for it, right? Here's the big lie, that you have to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. Now you think, what's that have to do with me today? I don't think I have to be a Jew. Well, there's a lot of copycat cults and copycat religionists around today that don't exactly say it that way, but you're feeling as Jew, but for them, they're feeling as whatever they are. You have to become one of us before you can become a real Christian. You've got to belong to our organization or our cult. Even if somebody tells you have to become Calvary Chapel before you become a Christian, they're wrong. All you need is Jesus. So beware of these false religious organizations who fill in the blank. In these days, it was a Jew, and nowadays there's all kinds of other fill in the blank that they'll tell you. You have to be one of these before you can become a Christian. And so Paul's argument against this reasoning, I love it. So far, we've looked at some powerful verses. Let me show you a couple. Matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, I love this one. Paul says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Jesus and not by the works of the law. Listen to this next line. For by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. In other words, fill in anybody else's religious system, any cult, any religious organization, by their rules, no one will be saved. Nobody can be saved by keeping somebody else's rules. Even the law of God found in the law of Moses, it's all about Jesus. He's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And he's what we've been waiting for, okay? Here's one more, Galatians 2:21. For I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Think about that. If you need to do stuff to earn God's approval, why in the heck did Jesus die on the cross for you? If I've got to earn it, then Jesus, never mind, you didn't have to die, oops, because I can earn it. I can do it myself. No, you can't. Now, here's your next fill-in. Where's the balance between grace and law? I'm going to tell you right now, there isn't a balance, because it's one or the other. You can't have both, okay? Where's the balance between receiving a gift and paying for a gift? There is none. If you pay for it, it's not a gift. Hello? Ever have somebody, Christmas, birthday, special occasion? Maybe, you know, your husband, Valentine's Day. Honey, I got you some roses. And you say, what do I owe you for that? Is that stupid or what? On your birthday, everybody gives you all these gifts. They come over and throw a party, give you all these gifts, and they give you all the receipts and say, you know, you can pay me whenever you can, right? That's not a gift. And so I've already read to you in Ephesians 2:8 and 9 that it's a gift of God. Matter of fact, there's many other verses that salvation is God's love coming at you freely. It's a gift. That's what makes the gospel, you know what gospel means? Good news. If you got to pay for the gift, it's not good news. So I love the way Paul put it in Romans. I'm going to share a few other verses outside of Galatians because we're looking at grace coming at you today, okay? In Romans chapter 4, I like the way Paul puts it, verse 4. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Well, don't I have to do something? Just trust him. I can tell you that if you don't trust him, if you don't believe in him, you got no gift coming to you, okay? If you don't believe in Jesus, I can't promise you anything. If you got no trust in God, I got no good news for you. But the good news is that the grace of God comes at you, and all how you receive is to believe. And so it's to him who doesn't work, too. You don't work for it. You know what? This goes against my upbringing. I don't know what kind of religion you were raised in, what denomination or what cult you came out of. We all come from somewhere. But this goes against my grain of thinking. It took me years coming out of my denominational upbringing to get this and really get it. And now I'm a broken record, aren't I? You won't stop hearing it because I'm going, did you read that? Let's read it again, okay? Now, here's your next fill-in. Righteousness, being right with God, is a gift received through faith in Christ. It's a gift received through faith. And I just want to stress that it's easier than you think. Now, it wasn't easy for God because it cost him everything. And I believe that once you are his, you give him everything, okay? Not to earn his love, not to win his favor, not to earn salvation, but it's the natural response of one who's been born again. As a matter of fact, Paul put it this way when he wrote to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 1:13, in him, in Jesus, you also trusted. I underlined a few key words here. You trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believed, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Did you see works anywhere in there? Did you see earning it, paying him back anywhere in there? You hear the gospel, you believe the gospel, you trust in Christ, he seals you with the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on. This is good stuff. I mean, some people prefer, just give me a set of rules so I can keep them. You know, you're in the wrong church. We do like to obey God. We do like to hear and obey the word of God. But that's not how you get right with God. You get right with God through the cross of Christ. And after that, now we live for him. Okay? That should just set you free. Okay? Now, the emphasis of Scripture is always on hearing and believing God's message. And that's why in chapter 3, yes, we're finally going to get there. That's why in Galatians chapter 3, he starts right out saying, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified." He said, "Didn't you see the gospel? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith?" Now, I already had my notes all done, and I was reading through this and reading through different, I always like to read through different translations, and I noticed that some of the translations leave out a phrase here, and it's actually in debate. There's a very few texts in Scripture that are debatable. Should this be in the Bible, or did the translators add it? And it's right in verse 1, it's that you should not obey the truth. Some of your Bibles, if you have a modern translation like NIV, New American Standard, and some others, it leaves that out, that you should not obey the truth. And I've wrestled through that, and I've read, you know, what they say, and I'm thinking, you know, on one hand, I'm thinking, well, that goes against everything Paul's saying. Paul's saying, you just believe. It's not obeying to get saved. But then on the other hand, I have the New King James that says that you should not obey the truth. I'm thinking, well, that could be a little sarcastic plug that Paul is saying. You want to obey rules? You want to keep laws? Why are you not obeying the truth of just hearing and believing the gospel? Why are you not obeying the truth of the gospel that is just simple by grace through faith? So whatever translation you got, I think it works, okay? It's good stuff. And then, by the way, Paul repeats his question in verse 5. He says, "Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith?" He asks this question twice. Is it by the works of the law, keeping the rules, or are you saved by hearing and having faith? Now, you know the obvious answer by now, I think, because I've made it clear, but I love it. I love it. You know, again, I told you, I like to listen to different translations every now and then. You know, the crazy translation that every now and then I listen to. Some people hate it. I wouldn't recommend you use this as your only Bible, the Message. But listen to how the Message words it. "You crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you clearly enough." Huh? I like that. But one more translation. It's the Mike Sasso translation. "What have you been smoking? I've told you over and over again that it's all about Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. Has somebody drugged you so that you've lost focus of the powerful meaning of the cross of Christ?" Huh? I like that translation. There's only one verse in that whole translation so far. I just started it. Okay. So verse 2 tells us, "This only thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith?" And, you know, you stop and think about it. He's saying to them, how did you get saved? Was it by keeping the law of Moses? Now, these Gentiles did not keep the law of Moses. They weren't circumcised. You know, that's why they call these group, the legalistic Jews, the circumcision. Because that's the real hinge. That's the real big deal. They would call the Gentiles the uncircumcised. That was the big deal. That's the mark that made you right with God. Now, remember the story when Peter preached in the house of Cornelius, all these Gentiles, and he's preaching the gospel, and as he preached the gospel, he just finished preaching the gospel, but he's still adding a little bit of finishing touches to it, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Now, if you read it carefully, there's nowhere in there that it says, and he's preaching the gospel, and then as soon as they circumcised him, no. as soon as they became Jews. No. Aren't you glad? I'm glad that somebody, that you, can sit there. If maybe you're not saved today and you're sitting here in church or listening on the radio or over the internet, and you could listen and hear the gospel, and without even leaving your seat, you're saved. The Holy Spirit comes upon you because it's a work of God. It's not, well, as soon as you jump through all these hoops I've set out for you, as soon as you keep all the rules and get circumcised, keep the law of Moses, you'll spend the next 5-10 years learning the law of Moses. There's a lot to it, folks. Hundreds of commandments. But I'm so glad the grace of God has changed all that in Christ. So stop and think about it. How did you get saved? Maybe it was something like this, the way Paul puts it in Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You think, is that how it happened? Because if that's how it happened, you're on the right course. Let me keep reading. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes will not be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is over all, is rich to all who call upon him. Forever, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, doesn't that sound complicated? Folks, I don't know about you, but my religious upbringing, it was a little bit different than this. When I read stuff like this, I go, thank you, Jesus. The gospel sets people free. Legalism puts people into bondage. And if that's how you got saved, then why in the world would you let someone come knocking on your door from some cult and tell you it's something other than this? It's Jesus plus their religion. Beware. If it's Jesus plus anything else, you got a problem. If that's how you got saved, why would you let any high-minded theologian tell you, well, you see, that's how maybe I got saved at first, but now that I've learned deeper stuff, it's all of these points of theology, I realize I started off wrong. No, you didn't start off wrong. If you got saved the way I just read it to you in Romans 10, 9 and 10 through 13, then, you know, you don't, that's the problem. Sometimes people advance, they get Jesus, then they get theology. Now that I have theology, yes, I still need Jesus, but, theology. Beware of anything that takes you away from Jesus. Beware of anything that pulls you away from the simplicity that's in Christ, that sets you free because he died for me. I heard a story once of a great theologian being asked, Mr. Theologian, what's the greatest, deepest truth you've ever studied in the scriptures? Give it to me, the deep stuff. And the theologian says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Folks, I never get tired of the simple stuff. Maybe because I'm simple, but I'm glad I'm simple because I won't get too complicated after that, okay? I love this stuff. And here's what it comes down to in verse 3 of Galatians 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, you're now being made perfect in the flesh? By the way, I do believe that there are Christians in cults. Why? Because they get saved and they hear the gospel, they get saved, and maybe they really never study their Bible, or they don't go to church that much. They don't hear, maybe they're in a church that doesn't teach the word, and the cult member comes knocking on their door and it sounds really good. You know, the cults don't grow because they sound stupid. Okay? They got something because it's a little bit of gospel and a lot of lie. Okay? You mix a little lie with it and it's enough to kill you. And so they hear it, and then they get pulled into this religious organization. So there are Christians who got deceived and pulled off into cults. We need to pray for them, work on them. But that's what Paul's dealing with. Because you get to start out as spirit, and you get to get perfected in the flesh. I like the way David Gusek puts this. He says, this lays out one of the fundamental differences between the principle of law and the principle of grace. Under law, we are blessed and we grow spiritually by earning and deserving. Under grace, we are blessed and grow spiritually by believing and receiving. Take your pick, folks. I know which one I want. Of course, it's not just which one I want, it's which one is true. He goes on to say, God deals with you under the covenant of grace. We should not respond under the principle of law. Good stuff. Now, verse 4 gives the fourth of five questions presented in our text, and I maybe should have started out saying, let's look at the five questions, but I'll review them in a second. Okay, look at verse 4. It says, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Now, I said there's five questions within the first five verses, but I like the way this one puts it. Matter of fact, let me read it to you. It's funny, I can't just quote the New Living anymore because I found out one of my Bible software has the New Living translation of 1996, and another Bible translation I have has the updated New Living. That's why we just stick with the, you could have New American Standard, NIV, New King James, there's some good ones, but some of them are updating every year. Anyway, I like the way the New Living of 1996 puts this. Forgive me, but here's what it says. You've suffered so much for the good news. Surely it was not in vain, was it? Are you now going to just throw it all away? I like that. That's really what Paul's asking the Galatians. Now, you want to know what the five questions are. Let me review them really quick. Bless you. You know, this isn't like TV. I can hear you. Okay, listen. Review the five questions that Paul asked. The first question is in verse 1. He says, who put a spell on you that you'd lose sight of the finished work of Christ on the cross? I'm summarizing it in my own words, okay? The next question is verse 2. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? By law or by faith? The third question is verse 3. You started by the Spirit, and now you think you could be made perfect in the flesh? The fourth question is in verse 4. Are you ready to throw away everything you've been through and all that God's grace has done? The fifth question is what we're going to next. It's in verse 5. Let me just read it to you. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Like I said, this is kind of a repeat of the second question. And God's Holy Spirit in you does great miracles, and God's done so much. And was that by the works of the law or was that by faith? Now, by the way, if you got saved and you know you're saved and you believe the gospel and you're saved, hold on to that. Don't let anybody come to you and go, by the way, you were saved wrong. You know, I know people who were saved in wacko churches. You know, they're a little bit off, but they're still saved, okay? And now how you get a little bit on, or let's say you should get right on, just start reading your Bible. Don't be careful of any religious organization that says, you can't understand the Bible without us teaching it to you right. Now, I teach you the Bible, and I want to teach you the Bible, but you should be reading it at home. You should be studying it on your own, because if you don't come up with the same stuff that I'm coming up with, something's wrong. If you go to a church, and you read the Bible, and then when they teach it from the church, it's totally different than you thought, maybe you had it right the first time, okay? Just read your Bible. All right. Now, this is how, like I said, how born-again Christians end up in cults. They forget the simplicity of Christ, and they end up hearing some kind of wacko or a very well-presented presentation that the cult is in, and they get caught up into it. But let me bring you back to the simplicity of the gospel. Now, some of you might go, oh, I don't go to this church anymore. It's just simple stuff. Yeah. I love the simple stuff. You know, simple stuff like John 3:16. John 3:16, let me read it to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever does everything right, no, wait, whoever keeps all the rules, I'm not reading from the Bible. Let me keep reading from the Bible. Whoever believes in him, it's all about Jesus, folks. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is just too easy. Praise the Lord, it's too easy. If it was any harder, I wouldn't make it. He goes on to say, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. Sound too simple? Thank God it's simple. He who does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, when I was going through a time in my life when I was confused and I wondered if I had the right religion and my mind was all messed up, and I started memorizing different texts of scripture that helped me get through that. The one I just read to you is one, but let me read you another, and I want to read it because I've memorized most of my scriptures in the old days from the King James, and then I mix them all up when I try to quote them. So I'm going to read it from the New King James. John 5:24. Most assuredly, this is Jesus speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, how do you get saved, Jesus? He who hears my words and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation or into judgment, but has passed from death into life. That's why they call the gospel good news, because it's good news. You hear and you believe and you have everlasting life, and you shall not come into judgment or condemnation, the King James puts it. You've already passed from death into life. I tell you what would anybody want anything but the good news? Okay, this is good stuff. And the cults would cry out, that's too easy. It's not that easy. You can't just believe and then live however you want. And to that I say, well, right. I didn't say you could believe and then live however you want. Because what happens is when you believe the gospel. When you're born again, you get your brains washed. And you get your whole thinking rewired. And you're what they call born again. And you've got new heart, new desires, new priorities. When you believe and you're born again, now you don't want to just live how you used to live. Matter of fact, if you say you believe in Jesus and you want to just keep living in sin the way you used to, maybe you're not really saved. Something's wrong, okay? I like the way 2 Corinthians 5 puts it, where Paul says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Anybody experience that? You being born again, like your desires are different. Your priorities are different. You're a new man, a new woman. Anybody experience that before? All right, we got 5 saved people in here. That's good. All right. I like the way Colossians 3 puts it. You've put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Here's what it means. When you get born again, when you put your trust in Christ, he begins to make you like Christ. And the more you look at Christ, the more you walk with Christ, the more you look to him, the more you're transformed to be like him. You want to get better and do better? Keep your eyes on Jesus. That's all. I'm not telling you, well, now that you're in Calvary Chapel, let me give you the Calvary Chapel rules. No. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The more you look to him, we're being renewed day by day. Our minds being transformed. We're being washed by the word of God. And now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, Jesus said in John 17. As you study the scriptures, as you look to Jesus, he's doing a work within you that starts working its way out of you. And you're not the same person anymore, okay? Now, since these legalistic Jews, let me see how much time we got. We got time. Since these legalistic Jews really make a big deal, not only of the law of Moses, but of Abraham. They call themselves sons and daughters of Abraham. We're the children of Abraham. Smart Paul, and led by the Holy Spirit, he starts talking about Abraham in verse 6. He says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Wait a minute. So that's how Abraham got right with God? Yep. Well, when did this happen? You know, I had the mistake one time. I used to think that this happened when Abraham believed God that, okay, I'm supposed to sacrifice my only son. And when I sacrifice Isaac, my son, and I believe that, then I'm righteous. I used to connect it to that act of sacrifice. But you know, this quote comes from Genesis 15, 5 and 6, before Isaac was even born. Abraham was made right with God through faith long before he made that started to make the sacrifice. Let me read it to you. Put a little context in it. This quote comes from Genesis 15, 5. It says, actually 6, but let me start in 5. He brought him outside and said, this is God took Abraham out of his tent, took him outside and said, look up at the stars, look now toward heaven, and count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. I like this. You know what this says? The moment God spoke to Abraham, you see the star, right now you're trying to get it all done through this other son who's not really, the Ishmael's not the one. It's from Isaac, who's not born yet. And you see, you're an old man, Abraham. You think it's too late for you, but I'm going to make your descendants like the stars, as many as, see all those dots up there in the sky? And Abraham saw, and he heard the word of God. He believed the word of God, and he was considered righteous from that. That's how God works. That's how God does it. I like it. But now you say, didn't Abraham do things that demonstrated his faith in God? You know, like what later with Isaac and he took him to the mountain. Yeah, he did stuff because faith demonstrates itself in action. I believe that real faith works. True faith makes you righteous and justifies you before the works ever show up, okay? True faith produces good works and obedience, absolutely. But it's not the other way around. The works and obedience don't save you. You're justified when you put your faith in Christ. And now, you know, how many of you guys, as soon as you got saved, you automatically start doing everything you're supposed to be doing? There's a process there. Aren't you glad God's patient with you? How many of you guys, you know, as soon as you got saved, everything was just, you were the perfect Christian? No. We're all in process. But I thank God that the starting point is I'm saved by grace through faith. And now he's walking with me, teaching me to live a life of obedience, teaching me to live how I ought to. There's an old saying Luther said in the Reformation when they're really debating over faith and works. What saves you, faith or works? And Luther says, faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone. I like that. That's a quotable quote. You should put that in your notes, I think. Okay, good stuff. Now, we'll see how far we get with this because we do have communion. But verse 7, Paul goes on and says, therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. He's talking to legalistic Jews. He goes, you want to talk about being children of Abraham? It's all about faith, folks. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Speaking of the coming of the Messiah. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So he's really making a point that it's really about faith. Again, let me read you verse 16 of chapter 2 that I read to you earlier and get it into you. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Now, next time somebody comes knocking on your door, elder so-and-so or whatever they are, take them to this verse and go, so do you believe this? Could you say that not by the works of my church, but by faith in Jesus Christ? Oh, no. There's the red flag. There's how you could tell. So when Abraham, by the way, believed God, I want to make another point, and here's your next fill-in. It wasn't that Abraham just believed in God. Abraham believed God. Those who only believe in God are in the sense that they believe he exists, are only as spiritual as, anybody know what it is? Demons or the devil. Because James puts it in James chapter 2, verse 19. He says, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Okay? It's no big deal. You meet some go, oh, yeah, I believe in God. You know, there's some kind of spiritual. Maybe as spiritual as the devil, all right? But Hebrews 11:6, what we've been studying, by the way, in our midweek, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe two things, not just one. Must, number one, believe that he is. That's how far the demons go. But number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I believe that it's all about faith You're justified by faith when you believe that God is, and you believe it's worth it all to serve him. It's worth it all to obey him. It's worth it all to follow him. Whatever sacrifice might come. I'm not saying the sacrifices save you. I'm not saying the work saves you. But if you believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, you're going to diligently seek him. Does that make sense? Hopefully it's connecting, okay? One commentator, Henry Morris, says this. Believed, of course, means more than he accepted what God said is true, though, of course, he did that. It means that he trusted God. You know, God wants you to trust him. It comes down to that. He just wants your trust. So we've got to ask ourselves, do we merely believe in God, or do we trust him with our lives? Do we believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? And so then the Apostle Paul retorts to these Jews who claim to have a corner on salvation. These Jews who claimed to be the true children of Abraham, he says in verse 7, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. That's what it comes down to. Our time is almost up, but I want to read a couple of these verses that I read you already in the New Living Translation, because I love the way it brings it to life. Galatians, the last few verses, verse 7 and 9 that we just read, listen how the New Living puts it. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. And so, so all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessings Abraham received because of his faith. You know, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I think the Bible does that too. And I hope that you're getting it. And because you got to ask yourself, what about me? You know, what about you? Are you a child of God because of your faith? Or are you just religious? Trying to earn his favor, trying to do what's right so that God will love you? Or do you realize God loves you and put your faith in Christ and you're born again because of it? It's really simpler than people make it. Let me close with this from Romans chapter 10, which I read earlier, but now let me read it from the New Living. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by confessing with your mouth that you're saved. All the scriptures tell us anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect, that they have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Folks, I know you may feel like you're in spiritual kindergarten right now, because this is just the ABCs of Christianity. But you miss this, you miss it all. If we go on to the deeper things of God and miss this, I have failed you. We want to make sure we got the gospel, because I've told you, we're going to finish Galatians, then we're going to go into James, which is kind of like the spiritual counterpart. Galatians focuses on faith and grace. James focuses on the importance of works in our Christian life. So pay attention now, because you're going to need some of this when we get to James.